All right, it's 12:41 on May 20th, and I was supposed to be interviewing Dr. Rashid Batar right now, and I literally just found out right now that he's not going to be on today's show because he is deceased. And I don't have the words to articulate what he meant to me. So I just found this out 11 minutes ago. So I'm just going to re-air our interview from last week, and my thoughts and prayers go out to Rashid Batar, Dr. Rashid Batar, the late great Dr. Rashid Batar, and to his family. And he's a great friend of mine. And I'll miss him.
Can you just text that to me? So and I'll just forward it. To...
Yep. One second. I'm also going to.
You're so creative, Clay.
I'm going to also send you passive aggressive long form text messages too. Because that's what the world needs more of, right?
That's right, man. That's why I love you so much. Call it like it is.
Well, we're gonna have some fun today. Ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, and
so, you know, Clay, first of all, on behalf of the rest of the world, I appreciate you taking that effort, because the new generation, those that will pick up the batons that we have been carrying, it is up to them to lead the world into the next era. And I'm grateful to you for helping to bridge that gap. And so for these two people that were born just yesterday, my goal, and I think everybody's goal, should be that when we come on this planet, when we leave, when we depart, we leave it a better place for the generation that's following us, which would be you. And I think that mankind, our generation, has not done an adequate job, because I know that if I were to, in fact, as Clay said, I actually had an encounter with the Creator, and I was begging for him to let me stay with him. And he said, no, I had too much work to do, because the planet needed work to leave it better for the next generation.
All right, Thrive Nation, on today's show, I really want to tap into the mind and the wisdom of General Flynn here about some names that a lot of us maybe didn't know before now. This guy here, the SEC chair, Gary Gensler, General Flynn, he's testifying in front of the House Financial Services Committee. And before we watch this clip, could you please explain to the listeners who this guy is or what you know about him? Because I think some of these names are new to our listeners.
Yeah, so Gary Gensler was Hillary Clinton's chief financial officer for her 2016 presidential campaign. So when we talk about, you know, money paid for the dossier, the Steele dossier, and financial shenanigans within the Hillary Clinton campaign for president, this is the guy that was responsible for all dollars moving in and out of that campaign. And of course, now fast forward to Biden being in the White House, this guy is now the SEC chair, which is a really, really powerful position. And this just shows you the incestuousness on the left. So when we talk about people on the left, this guy is way over on the left. He's not really, you know, left of center. He's way, way over on the left.
Now let's hit play here and see what he has to say here. This is Gary Gensler. A little context for you folks. This is April 18th. He said this, April 18th, 2023. Here we go.
Look, I mean, right now you can sweep the data up from your automobile driving. It's called telematics. You can sweep up your social media usage and sort of based upon that, decide how to underwrite and make a loan. There's research, actually, interesting research that shows if you capitalize your letters for pronouns in your emails, you're better credit than if you don't. I'm giving you this away a little bit. And if you charge your phone every night, your better credit.
The social credit score, it's already here. The government just hasn't officially announced it yet. The House just gave the green light to the cleverly titled, quote, Border Security and Enforcement Act of 2023, or H.R. 2640. And it appears that the GOP are like kids in a candy store with this one. Why? Because it camouflages as a bill that promises to secure the border. You want us to secure the border? Great. We'll give it to you. But we might stick a couple things in there. So at first glance, it does seem to contain elements related to border security, such as empowering state attorney general to haul federal government to court for failing to detain unauthorized immigrants. It also pledges to slam the door on asylum and residency for known criminals. Those sound like good things. That's what they want, right? But here's the thing. Among the text of this bill, hidden in there, like a snake in the grass, is a provision that wants to roll out E-Verify nationwide. Now, E-Verify, if you don't know, is a federal surveillance program that determines whether or not a person can be legally employed in the U.S. Now, this was created back in 1997 to stop companies from hiring illegal aliens. And in the beginning, it was framed up as completely voluntary, and only 9 states have made it mandatory for all employers. But through this new act, it wants to roll out E-Verify nationwide, making it mandatory and stripping states of their authority to even decide if they want to do it. Now, credit where it's due. Shout out to Ron Paul. Ron Paul has been warning against E-Verify for years.
Okay, a lot to unpack there. First question there, General Flynn, I'll go to you, then I'll go to Dr. Meehan here. What are your thoughts on what Gary Gensler just said while testifying in front of the House Financial Services Committee?
In a nutshell, get ready to have your entire existence controlled by the federal government. I mean, that's essentially what he's talking about. What Moss then added to, but this is about getting ready to have the federal government control every single aspect of our lives. That's where we're moving. That's what we're moving towards. That's this whole thing with social credit scores, the environmental, social, governmental scores, you know, the e-verification, all of the various controls that we are going to have over our lives, which means the loss of our freedom, which I know many people have talked about that, even to include Uncle Joe in the White House.
Dr. Meehan, perhaps you're hearing that for the first time, maybe hearing it again. Yeah. What are your thoughts on what Gary Gensler just said?
Well, I mean, pay attention to the granularity of what he just said, how they can sweep this data off of your automobile, knowing how much, whether you're charging your phone every night. That kind of granularity of the mass surveillance system is something that everybody should be concerned with. And I know a lot of people would say, I'm not a bad guy. I don't do bad things. But governments freaking do. You know, they commit democide. They kill more people than any mass murder. It's governments that kill you. And we have a government that is absolutely out of control. So the more information that they have, and they can quantify whether you're who you vote for, what your allegiances are, who you follow on YouTube or social media, the more likely you are to be targeted. And I want to pair this with my concern, because I'm very concerned about this mass surveillance state. That's what the COVID pandemic was always all about. It was about getting more ability to track and verify, what's going on under your skin. But a guy I follow on YouTube, Monkey Works, former military intelligence, is talking about these surveillance flights, 3,900 surveillance flights over the United States in the last 75 days. What is it that our government, and it looks like a lot of these are FBI type flights, private planes, front companies, it's being tracked down by a lot of journalists right now, but there's something going on, ladies and gentlemen. They're getting more and more information. What is afoot? I want privacy. I want freedom. I won't cross over either line. I want them both.
Now I'm going to pull this up here. This is Gilbert Verdean. Everyone needs to know this name. Everyone needs to know the name Gilbert Verdean. If you don't know the name Gilbert Verdean, I want you to write it down, say it 4 times, shout it out to your neighbors. Gilbert Verdean, this guy, Gilbert Verdean, is the CEO of what's called Quant.network. And someone says, why do I need to know that? I'm going to pull this up on the screen just to give people a brief education here, bringing it in here. Okay, so MIT has developed what's called the CBDCs. And if you want to see it, just type in MIT CBDCs. And you can see in Google right here that they're not hiding it. MIT's excited they created the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. MIT also developed this thing called the quantum dot. It stores your medical and financial records under your skin. That's what it is. MIT developed it, stores your financial and medical records under your skin. There it is. Boom. And the name of the technology that powers the new CBDCs is called Quant.network. And that is the company started by this guy, Gilbert Verdean. So he said this yesterday, folks. Listen to what he said yesterday.
The only way to answer those questions is to practically test it with your local domestic and commercial banks to understand what does this mean. So from our perspective, I mean, we're an infrastructure provider. We create the issuance of CBDCs and the interoperability of CBDCs with payment systems. And look at the common themes are around, you know, why a digital pound, why a digital euro, why a digital dollar. And it's an evolution of money, and you know, cash is always going to be there, as Tom was just saying, but having a digital form of cash, a new form of smart money, can really unlock a lot of benefits to consumers and businesses, because we're right now relying on a traditional architecture of push and pull payments, and having logic built in by having the ability to program money to do innovative things is going to really transform how GDP can grow, how businesses can reduce workflows, and how consumers can spend a new form of money. So we're right at the beginning of that thinking, but the next step is to practically test it with your local domestic banks.
I want people to go read Executive Order 14067. Executive Order 14067.
I like this guy, by the way, right here.
By Uncle Joe, the 8th of March of 2022, and it went into effect 13 December 2022.
Okay, so I'd love to get your thoughts here, Sorcini. You're a precious metals guy. You deal with a different kind of currency, gold, silver, that kind of thing, precious metals. What are you here, when we hear Gilbert Verdean talk about ushering in programmable money, just what does that mean to you?
It's how they control us. They control the food supply and control the money, and we, most people are going to have no choice but to buckle and just go with it. They'll be somehow convinced that this is new technology and that we're better off for it, but we know that we're not.
Now, Thomas Renz, I want to get your thoughts on this. I'm going to pull up this clip here. This right here is a guy, again, you should write this name down, folks. These are people that no one talks about, but these are the people that are bringing this about. His name is James Wallace. He's the Ripple Vice President and the Central Bank Engagements and CBDCs. He's the Ripple Vice President of Central Bank Engagements and CBDCs. And this is what he just said on May 19th.
At the end of the day, you know, I think the federal government, you know, trumps state governments in this. But I think really, I don't think the citizens have anything to be concerned about. You know, CBDC is a digital representation of fiat currency. It's likely to get implemented in pretty much every country around the world. It's coming.
I want people to go read.
I like this guy. This guy, this is my favorite.
067.
Okay, so Thomas Renz, would love to get your thoughts on it. The guy sounds like he's from Texas, obviously. He says, well, the CBDCs, they'll be implemented everywhere around the world. What are your thoughts there, Thomas Renz?
Well, our founding fathers, in their brilliance, did some important work on this, right? One of the number one things that they were focused on was ensuring that the government didn't need to know too much about you. Fourth Amendment embodies that, right? Right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Now, what the federal government is trying to do right now is eliminate any ability to have anything that they need to search because it's all public record. They're trying to move everything out of your house and into the realm of public record. The internet is all public record. If I say something on the internet, it's the equivalent to me standing on the streets corner and screaming it. CBDCs, by nature, because of the public-private partnership, are going to be pushed through this loophole to try and get around the Fourth Amendment. And what they're going to do is they're going to use a public-private partnership. We saw this in COVID. They've mastered the law on this in COVID. And I've been really digging into the law on this. What they've done is in COVID, they mastered public-private partnerships to dodge laws because the feds would say, we didn't do it. The private company did it. And the private company would say, we did it because the feds told us to. And then you couldn't get to discovery. You couldn't get anywhere. And the amount of money it takes to fight this in court is prohibitive for any normal person. So what they're going to do is they're going to dodge the Fourth Amendment by doing this with private banks that aren't really private because they're completely regulated, completely controlled, and if they don't follow what BlackRock and these other crooks are out of business. So this is really a brilliant, brilliant move. And honestly, the only real solution here is local action.
Aaron Antis runs Oklahoma's largest home building company. We keep him off camera so people don't get jealous. So we'll put Klaus Schwab here while he talks. Aaron, what are your thoughts on the central bank digital currency, sir?
Well, I mean, I think actually, Tom, you couldn't have said it any better with our Fourth Amendment being completely violated here. That's been one of the things that's bothered me through the whole COVID pandemic is this move from public sector and into the private sector. Let's have Google and let's have Facebook and Twitter and all of these huge technocrats come in and invade your privacy, take away all of your rights, and then they get to decide based on what you believe or don't believe whether you have a platform in your life anymore. And so you're seeing that move in all of those things. Well, this is just the next step. This is, okay, let's take that same concept over into money. We've gone into the medical freedom. Now we're going over into the financial freedom, and it's going to be a huge change in people's lives. Aaron, and I think people don't even know it's about to happen.
Aaron, you're only talking about medical and financial freedom. General Flynn, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, sir. You know, Tedros is now holding court here, and Aaron over here is freaking out about losing medical freedom and health freedom and financial freedom and just all freedom. He acts like it's a big concern.
Right.
Meanwhile, Tedros is here speaking, and he's addressing this very serious conversation here. Tedros, he's the director general of the Bill Gates and CCP-influenced World Health Organization, and he's saying this out loud. Listen to this, folks. He's saying this out loud.
He's a Marxist.
To be clear, COVID-19 is still with us. It still kills. It's still changing, and it still demands our attention. But it no longer represents a public health emergency of international concern. The end of COVID-19, or the global health emergency, is not just the end of bad dream from which we have woken. We cannot simply carry on as we did before.
What does that mean?
Chief among those lessons is that we can only face shared threats with a shared response, like the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, the pandemic, a call that member states are now negotiating must be a historic agreement to make a paradigm shift in global health security, recognizing that our fates are interwoven. This is the moment for us to write a new chapter in global health history.
Let's have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO. If you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around. So for the next pandemic, instead of stopping the movement of the people 100%, which clogged the economy globally, you know, you can still provide some movement of the people. Indonesia has achieved, G20 country has agreed to have this digital certificate using WHO standard, and we will submit into the next World Health Assembly in Geneva as the revision to international health regulation. So hopefully for the next pandemic, we can still see some movement of the people, some movement of the goods, and movement of the economies.
We have to believe that it's possible to stop a localized outbreak becoming a raging global pandemic. And that means better surveillance, more transparency, frankly, by all member states. If they think something's happened, it's got to be reported. And the WHO needs the power to be on the site with whatever teams need to be deployed. It needs to be able to...
Surgeon General for the United States. Reminds me of the Surgeon General for the United States.
It's got to be able to take a precautionary approach in running up a flag. And it's got to be able to declare an emergency without being kneecapped by an emergency committee. These are basic things that need to be dealt with in a review of the international health regulations. Otherwise, we will lose weeks again next time something happens.
Ideally, the response to COVID should be the establishment of a global healthcare system, a basic healthcare system for the entire human race?
I mean, COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, even in democratic countries, and it makes surveillance go under your skin. You just imagine the situation when everybody goes around all the time with some biometric bracelet or other device that constantly monitors what's happening inside your body. So the moment your body temperature starts rising or there are other signs that something is wrong, the health authority knows that you're sick and you're isolated, and that's it. That's the end of the epidemic. If we had such a system today, there won't be COVID.
The big battle in this regard in the 21st century will be between privacy and health, and health will win. Most people will be willing to give up their privacy in exchange for much better healthcare based on 24 hours monitoring of what's happening inside their bodies. I guess very soon people
let's will start with him. Let's start with Yuval. I want him to be the beta test case for exactly what he just said. And maybe we can all turn on channel, you know, 2 every night and watch what he's doing.
I don't know.
If I want to.
Nut job. What a nut job. You know, one of the there's a thing about the 7